There are difference of administrations, but the same Lord. And the directors of operations were the same God which worketh all in all. And verse 7 says, but the manifestation of this Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It says the manifestation of this Spirit. And we said that, you know, when it says this Spirit, is specific, referring to the Spirit of the man that is born again. We don't have two spirits. We have the reborn Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son of God. And that manifestation is what we all have received of. But you see, you begin to read, it talks about nine different functions. It speaks about the word of wisdom by the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. It says to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit of healing. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now look at 11. It says, but all this worketh the one and self same Spirit. That one, pardon me, and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So he says that all this worketh the one and self same Spirit. So the nine functions are actually the workings of the Spirit within. They are the workings of the Spirit within. The word working there is where you get energy. That is the Spirit of the man. This is the energy of the Spirit of the man that is born again. When the energy produces the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the sign of spirit, it produces utterances in terms of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and of course, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and then the gifts of faith. So that's the working of the energy of the Spirit of a man that is born again. He says, this is the energy. All this worketh the one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, it says, as he will. Dividing to every man severally as he will. And it's key to see, like I've said it before, that these are the resident abilities of the Spirit of a man that is born again. They are resident. That is, they stay in the man that is born again. And so we were able to, look at the fact that there are three classifications for the sake of teaching. Don't forget, it's not so classified by Paul, but for the sake of teaching, we subgroup them. Sometimes when you teach, it's necessary to group things for, easier understanding. So it's been classified into the utterance gifts, then you have the power gifts, and then you have the revelation gifts. Why do we call the utterance gift? Where we look at the, the similarities of these gifts. For instance, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy have one similarity, and that's the fact that they are spoken. They tend to what is said. Then we have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and design of spirit. That is something that comes to you. Knowledge is something that was given to you. Wisdom is something that was given to you. And then, of course, design of spirit again boils down to knowledge. Something that you see, you perceive. So that's the second aspect. Then the third would be power, where you have the gifts of healings, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of faith. Where we look at something is being done. A tangible energy is being dissipated, is being, demonstrated in towards a particular end. So, you look at that and you see the functions of the human spirit. The human spirit that is born again, we see another diverse function in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. He says it's love. He says gentleness, meekness, patience. And you see the difference there is this. Now look at this. People often talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit as though in a part of the man's spirit you have the fruit, around that part you have the gifts. And then you say you have developed the fruit, you've not developed the gift. Sometimes we can be that ordinary in the way we interpret things. But let's talk like this. When you say the fruit of the Spirit, the word fruit, differentiates from the gifts or the workings of the Spirit, because the word fruit is where you get results. That is the proof of something. The proof of the Spirit. And if you read Galatians 3, I mean 5 again, the Spirit there, you have to go back to chapter 4, where we talk about the Spirit of Sonship, chapter 4 verse 6, receiving the Spirit by the works of the law, or the hearing of faith. Galatians 3, you know, verse 2 and verse 3. And then, you know, you read that. So when you get to chapter 4, then you go to chapter 5, and then you're able to see that it was referring to that, you know, talking about the law, the Spirit in that context, was talking about grace and the law. That is, this is the result of grace. This is the result of grace. The Spirit within us, you know, is the evidence of the fact that we have grace, that we walk in grace. That's why it said, if you do these things, then you are not, after this, you are not under any law. That is, you are not subject to any law. There's no law, you know, that binds a man, you know, as a result of this. So, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it was talking in relationship to the law. And then, you know, it says the result, that is, this is the proof. And I explained that to you, you know, in walking in the Spirit, that, for instance, when you do a test, and then you say, is it carbohydrate, and then you test for starch, or you apply iodine, you know, on yam now, you did that in integrated science and biology, and then you see blue-black, right? That's the evidence of carbohydrates, okay? Now, that blue-black is the result of the test. So when you say the Spirit of a man is recreated, is born again, is not under the law, the result is this: love, gentleness, meekness, patience. Now, when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, you see how it classifies it. It says, all this worketh the one and self-same Spirit. So, at what point is it a gift? It's not a gift to the human spirit. Rather, it's a gift from the human spirit. It is a display of the human spirit. It's a gift from the human spirit. So when it says to one, of course some folks have thought he was talking about individuals, but it couldn't have been, because he said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man's prophet without. He says the one and the self-same Spirit. So where we have the gifts of the Spirit is in the manifestation or in the demonstration. It says what is being done is the gift of the Spirit. Are you hearing me? It's not what is within you. What is within you is the Spirit. What is being done is the gift of the Spirit. You know, I know some of you have said, I have all the 9 gifts of the Spirit within me. Well, that's, you know, some terminologies are good at this thing. The gift of the Spirit is what is being done. That's why you see that every time you see the gift of the Spirit, it tends to describe it as being something given to somebody. I'll explain now. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2, when it says that, therefore we ought to give them more earnest things we have heard, verse 1, lest at any time we drift away from them, it says, for the word, you know, being spoken by angels, if the word spoken by angels receive the judgment of the word, how shall we escape? If we neglect so great a salvation, which was spoken by the Lord, I was confirmed to us by them that heard him, you know, and God confirming them with signs, wonders, diverse gifts. The word there is merismos, distributions, and diverse gifts, signs, wonders. A sign is for the recipient. A wonder is for the recipient. Signs, wonders, you know, miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost. That word is distributions of the Holy Ghost. So the distributor is the man that is born again in this instance. So when you look at 1 Corinthians 2:12, and it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit. Diversity of gifts. And when you see diversity of gifts, you are talking about diversities of that Spirit. Different workings of that Spirit. And you now go and now talk about the word of knowledge. When it says through one, it's referring to through one gift of the Spirit, you have the word of knowledge. So in verse 11, it now says, all this worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man. Now, the every man oftentimes has been seen as the believer. No. It can't be the believer because it says that they worketh the same Spirit. The believer is not receiving the Spirit. The believer has, pardon me, the Spirit. So the dividing is from the Spirit of the believer to the recipient of that ability. When I come out, for instance, and I give a tongue, and an interpretation of tongue to somebody in the audience, that is that dividing of the spirit. When that fellow receives of that ability that is within, is a recipient of the gift of the spirit. So what came from me is a gift of the spirit. What was received, you know, look at this instance. When you look at Jesus, he says he led captive captive and he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts as men. So the giving, you know, in this instance, is when this man, you know, is ministering. When this believing man begins to minister. That ministry is the dividing to every man severally, you know, as he will. So you see it as the believer in function. The believer, you know, walking, you know, in the gifts of the Spirit will be the believer, you know, demonstrating the power of God. So when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, this Spirit there, because oftentimes people have thought this Spirit is the Holy Ghost, so their spirit is almost silent, you know, at that point. But you know better than that. You know that when you talk about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, you're talking about the spirit of the man, you know, that is born again. We have the utterance gift, we have the revelation gift, and you see that, like we said, we described that the abilities of the spirit of the man. They are the abilities of the spirit of the man. They are not abilities he receives, the abilities he has. Is that clear? So they cannot be gifts to him, rather they are gifts from him. Now look at this. Let's talk a little bit about utterance gift. You look at the way, you know, the precedence by which the things of the spirit flow, you see that a lot of things, you know, happen in utterance, in speaking. That's why, you know, when Paul was eventually going to explain the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14, you will see there was more talk around utterances. There was just more discussion around utterances. If you look at, you know, Jesus' Mark 16, 17 to 18 again, he spoke a lot about, he spoke only about utterance, you know, definitely, where he says you shall speak with new tongues. Acts 2, of course, we know the precedence in Acts 2, in Acts 10, in Acts 19. Now, look at this a bit. You will see that the scriptures, you know, I've said this before in this series, were given by utterance. Bible says, no prophecy of the scripture, 2 Peter 1 and 20, was of any private interpretation. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spoke. So, he's talking about the documentation of God's word, which we call the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. The holy men of God spoke. Now, they were inspired and they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, you know, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, look at the fact that all scripture contained revelation about things that will happen, things that, you know, were, that's why you're not saying this has been fulfilled in your ears. That means revelation came from all the scriptures. Revelation came from all the scriptures. But don't forget that the medium by which that revelation came was via utterance. People spoke out. So, utterance, we will see, prompts revelation. Note that. Utterance prompts revelation. Utterance prompts revelation. Hebrews 1:1, God who has sent sundry times in diverse manners spoke in time past to our fathers through the prophets. Spoke in time past through the prophets. He spoke. And so there was revelation given, what the man had mindful of him. And you know, you see revelation was given, but it was via utterance. So utterance prompts revelation. When you see, when you give yourself to utterance, that's why utterance happens to be like the starting point. When you give yourself to utterance, you are prompting revelation gifts. Like you're prompting them. And that's why a fellow like Peter, you know, walked in that same light. And Acts 19 folks also, they spoke with tongues and then they prophesied. You see, you know, all that, you know, readily. So, utterance, don't forget, prompt revelation. 2 Corinthians 12, and we have been looking at revelation. It's not expedient. It says, for me doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Visions and revelations. We have explained that a vision is what you see. Revelation is what you know. But because you don't, what you see does not have to strictly be what you know. Definitely, a vision is a revelation, but not all revelations are visions. Anything you can hear, see, and perceive is a revelation, but a vision is restricted only to what you can see. In verse 7, it says, the abundance of revelation. Now notice this. I said, whatever you hear, you see, and know from your spirit, will be the revelation gifts. Whatever you hear, you see, or know from your spirit. That means that knowledge came to your mind independent of a preconceived notion. Assuming you didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything, you just perceived something, that means it came independent of an external influence. So whatever you hear, you see, or know from your spirit, is either a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and a discerning of spirit. Whatever you hear, don't forget I use the word hear, you will hear something. Now when you hear something, there will be definite phrases and words. When you see something, you may see images and no words. When you know something, you may not see anything. You may see something, but to know something at times may just be a feeling. Like if I'm in the room and I feel cold. I don't see cold, but I know someone has put on the air conditioner. I hope that's in your room. So you sense this. Something is on. Or the way you go into the kitchen, you don't have to go to the kitchen, but somewhere, the delicious meal is being cooked. That's a sense of perception. You don't have to see the pot moving. You understand? And you don't, I remember one time like that, one cousin of mine, he had stolen, and this Titus my mother used to bring into the kitchen. The freezer. So this guy fried the thing. So when we got home, we were smelling the thing. He said, no, so maybe it's the next. I said, the next door. The next door is far. He said, people can be crying outside. We go into the house, then the smell got stronger. I didn't see fish. The pot was cleared properly. But the smell doesn't go like that. Fish. I mentioned his name. I said, no. So, the day, it was so clear that something had happened. So, it got us curious. Myself and my cousin, come from a lesson. Now, I said, what are you guys saying? We're just checking around. So we now had a dog. We used to call him Small. The name was called Small. I think. There are two. Now we just came around with bone or fish. Rabbi Odun. So it was so easy. When my mom came and I said, somebody taught me my mother can be very sensitive. And you just did that. You didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything, but you sensed something. You sensed something. Nobody told you anything, but you just sensed something. And somehow you see it lingering. And as it were, that sensing will now create an image of its own.
Oftentimes, that's where some of us miss it when we want to give a word of knowledge. Your perception may not be as accurate. No, Paul said, I perceive that this ship shall be destroyed with everybody there. I perceive. Now, oftentimes you sense something. And sometimes it's a strong sensation. It's not because you saw something, then all of a sudden you saw somebody, you know, maybe you saw a church member who had traveled to the UK, and you know, he comes back, he has tattoo, he has earrings. I perceive there's danger in your way. Yeah, because you feel that he has vaccinated and the devil will be after him. That's sense, that's word from knowledge. But here you just is independent of your senses, independent of your imagination. And that's why some people miss it. You want to minister by the Spirit, you begin to imagine the word of knowledge. Really imagine. There should be somebody here who is looking for school fees in a church of 200 people. Somebody, except that church is situated in Aso Villa. Somebody should be looking for school fees. There's somebody here. You know, and you begin to create, and oftentimes some of us cut ourselves from revelation. So sometimes you just perceive something. But as long as it's in the realm of knowledge that is independent of your senses, then a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or a discerning of spirits. Sometimes, you know, you can sense an evil spirit around. I've seen that severally. I just sense an evil spirit around. You won't see anything, you won't hear any voice, but you will sense an evil spirit around. And you just know something somewhere is wrong. You know, just around. So that, again, is a revelation. Revelation does not have to be spectacular, like I've said severally. It just has to be supernatural. Now, note this. Let's look at the essence of knowledge generally. The revelation gives deal with knowledge, to know something. Knowledge is to help you. For instance, let's be a bit practical here. Here am I. I want to repair maybe my computer. Okay? I don't know how to repair a computer. I have no idea. So there is a book. Okay? That book has all the parts of the computer, has all the accessories. I look at it. That knowledge comes to me to be able to repair the computer. So the essence of knowledge, is to head your own activity. Now, in this instance, you will see that the essence of revelation gifts is to assist with the power gifts and the utterance gifts. Knowledge comes to help you. The essence of knowledge is to give you a direction. Information is to enlighten you and give you a direction. And I say it oftentimes, God does not run CNN News. Neither does He run PM News. He doesn't run, what's that channel Pastor Lan opens to every morning? 0.75. And they always give you Pidgin English gists. You know, it doesn't run that kind of. So knowledge that comes to us is a prerequisite for something. Look at Agabus' case. Agabus said there will be death in all Roman Empire. That's not to make Agabus the most anointed prophet in Israel, but to help the church to send relief to Jerusalem. I mean, that's what it was for. So, when we come to the definition of the Spirit, and there's a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, or a design of Spirit, is to give a direction towards something. So, knowledge is not an end in itself. Every knowledge is to inform you and give you a direction. And it goes the same way. When I see something, or I sense something, is to give me a direction. Now, we're talking about ministry. So in ministry,
And in ministering, the revelation gift should give us a direction. Now, let me give you a practical one. We'll get that in a moment. As you know, I'm giving you a personal experience. When, for instance, you are ministering in that direction and you have a word of knowledge, look here. I have a word of knowledge and you it appears just repeatedly, you have two instances that are similar. For instance, I'm trying to get okay. You just gave a word of knowledge. Maybe you are in a meeting and just someone, it's just a typical teaching meeting and just someone has a headache. Let's ask a headache. Then, as you were just about to conclude on that, you don't mention it, and then you sense again that someone has stomach trouble. And you say, then as you were still teaching, someone has back pain. Then easily, that direction is to have a healing meeting. That's all. It's not necessary for you to now say, somebody here, oftentimes we go for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. Just simply call a healing line. You can at that minute just do a simple exhortation on receiving healing and then give a call. See, because you are human, you cannot have all the knowledge. So, that was just enough for you to give a call. Oftentimes, when you give it, I mean, I've seen that when you have one another and you now give an open call, you say there's somebody who has, this happens because you say there's somebody who has, say, a back condition. And as you're ministering, or you give the word of knowledge, and three people now come, sometimes five. And really, you, of course, oftentimes, our word of knowledge always there's somebody. Because that's how we have been taught by some people we have seen. But it could be many people. The issue is not somebody as much as it's referring to the sickness itself. Knowledge should give you direction. Don't go for the spectacular. Sometimes we want to grandstand. And you know, but if it's this of God, why do we grandstand? Listen, are you aware that Paul gave a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge that did not come to pass? He missed it. But he corrected himself later. You know what was this for Paul? He was not grandstanding. Some of us grandstand. The minute the attention, because the way the gifts of spirit are, you will be the one demonstrating them. The way it is easy to put the attention on yourself. See, anything that does not point to Lord Jesus Christ eventually becomes idols. You can idolize these abilities and it becomes your own, your albatross. So the point is this, you know, is to give you a direction. That's what it does. To give you a direction. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. As Paul, it says, let the prophets, verse 29, speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything, notice what he says here. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. That means direction demands be quiet. If there's a revelation, you wait. The point of revelation there is to say, oh, hold your peace, hold on. Revelation gives direction to the ministry. Or the ministering. It says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. So eventually we have direction. Oftentimes, when we have a Holy Ghost meeting, as we call it, and people come out, and I oftentimes wait for those who will speak by revelation. Some folks will not. Some folks will just edify us generally, and then we'll be blessed. You know, but some folks will just give a direction. And sometimes, you know, those kind of people will tell you what next to do in the meeting. You know, sometimes we are too used to somebody gives an altar and everybody's rejoicing. You know, we can be. See, as you grow up, get more intelligent with the things of the Spirit. The end point of the gifts of the Spirit is for all men to be blessed. It's not for us to show how much we have learned or to demonstrate how much we can do, but for people to be blessed and for them to learn. Let's go to meetings. Praise God. Meetings are primary in the church. Hebrews 10:25 says we do not forsake the assembling together of one another. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You know. And look at Paul's explanation on the things of the Spirit. There was more spoken about public meetings. It took the explanation of gifts of the Spirit can only be well explained or best explained in public meetings. So in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 to 16, public meetings. Verse 19, a public meeting. Verse 23, a public meeting, when the whole church become together. Verse 25, a public meeting. So the essence is that in public meetings, you must know how the gifts of the Spirit through you or from you will work. The key thing in public meetings is what? Is the first thing, order. Is what? Order. Order refers to there must be, look at that Acts 2. Peter lifted up his voice with the 11. How would it look like if everybody wanted to talk? What would have happened if everybody wanted to talk? You know, it would have been. So order comes. You know the way it is, eh? Let me give you some intelligent things. Have you ever discovered that sometimes you are in a meeting and somebody has a word of knowledge you have had? Now, if that has never happened to you before, you are not saved. That's a joke, but really you are not. Because you should. Now, how would it look like if Pastor Larry comes and says, someone needs to be laid hands upon for ministry. You are a preacher. You want to start a fellowship in University of Nigeria, Chuka. And then Toby comes here. She's also. Then he stylishly starts going with tongues and says, there's somebody who wants to ask something. I said something about Nsuka, bros. It has been sensed. The reason why you sense it because it's the one and self same spirit. I told you that severally. Dividing to every man severally as he will. Ministry in meetings is a function of one, how matured you are and how keen you are in the things of God. It's not ability problem. We all have the same ability. Notice what Paul says, and you all prophesy. That means, and let the church is functioning at optimal capacity, and we all prophesied. Acts 19:6, and this all the 12 spoke in tongues and prophesied. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. So, in this instance, it's order. Orderliness. Orderliness is given. There must be somebody who will interpret the things that are happening. Somebody will say, be quiet, hold on, hold your peace. Order comes first and foremost in public meetings. If you are going to bless as a ministry gift to us, you must understand the place of order in the teaching of God's word and in the flow of the Spirit. You must know the place of orderliness. Let the first hold his peace. That's order. It's order in the things of the Spirit. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Verse 32. The things of the Spirit of the prophet are subject to prophets. 1 Corinthians 14, 32. So let's look at the different kinds of meetings that we have. We have the teaching meetings. I'm not going to take long tonight. We have the prayer meetings. We have the healing meetings. And we have the evangelistic meetings. Let's use those words for maybe a crusade. We have healing meetings, prayer meetings, teaching meetings, and meetings where we just minister to people. Now, that can happen in one meeting. Okay? So don't forget, we're talking about revelation gifts in ministry. So we have teaching meetings, prayer meetings,
Sometimes we don't believe that we can have revelation in prayer meetings. But we actually can. But don't turn a prayer meeting to Holy Ghost meeting. You know, there was one time in this ministry, we were not, you know, changed community then. Some of you were not even saved in this particular period. Well, 13 years ago, 14 years. And so we had this outreach. We were supposed to go to a particular area, city and town, and reach the place. So we set a target that we should look at reaching out to 1,000, you know, per person. Each person should have 1,000. So there was the Ibadan group, the Lagos group. The Ibadan group will pray in the morning. They will just pray regular prayer. And then they will go and reach out. The Lagos, so I was in the Ibadan. So I saw the Ibadan group. And they will just go out and all that. I think Lola was the head. Pastor Lola was the head of the Ibadan group. So I went to Lagos. So I got to Lagos. You know, and I was in the house. They went to pray. So I watched their prayer meeting. So I just came, you know. As a pastor, you have to learn to watch. I just came in behind the press to watch a prayer meeting. They're no longer praying. They're saying, oh, prayer meeting. And you will see someone near a white car. And you will go to the person. They were giving them, everybody was now having something for somebody in the prayer meeting. So I didn't say anything. By the time we now asked, what did you do at the end of the day? I think eventually, maybe in the whole day, there were about 10, 15 folks, maybe they reached out to maybe 30 people. They were just going around trying to, everybody was trying to show them, I met somebody, I dazzled him, and all that. You see, there was this order. At the end of the day, what happens? Nobody was blessed. When there is this order, people will not be edified. Who will know you? Who will see the fact that you are the man of the great power of God? For nobody or very few will be edified. When there's order, there's less showing, there's less swagger with the things of the Spirit. So we'll look at an instance. Let's look at healing meetings. A healing meeting. Let's assume as you were ministering. Now, a healing meeting is not a meeting you put on your poster as a healing meeting. A healing meeting is a meeting or a part of the meeting or an aspect of the meeting where you choose to minister to the sick. That can happen in your cell meeting. It can happen in a regular church service. It can happen in a camp meeting. It can happen, you know, in a general fellowship meeting. So when I say a healing meeting, don't zero your mind to a poster, a flyer, handbill healing meeting. But where you know there is the sick to minister to, a healing meeting. Now, a healing meeting can come out of a teaching meeting, and a teaching meeting can come out of a healing meeting. Jesus was teaching in Luke 5, and as he was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, you see another instance where Jesus will heal the sick, and Matthew 12, after healing the sick, he will now begin to teach. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the issue is not how we call the meeting. It is in what direction we sense and we know the meeting should go. Same thing with a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting can lead to a teaching meeting. A teaching meeting can lead to a prayer meeting. Look at Acts 13. As a minister to the Lord, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So that was a prayer meeting that now eventually led to diverse demonstration of revelation. Are we together? You know, Acts 13 was a prayer meeting. Was there revelation gifts there? Yes. It gave direction to the prayer meeting. So, again, don't forget we're talking about a healing meeting. So don't zero your mind to a healing meeting has to be we are having a healing meeting. No. We only call it a healing meeting so that from the outset we'll have been just zero our mind to that. But oftentimes there can be different streams of the same spirit in the same meeting. So, Acts 5, we'll see something common. Acts 5.
Acts 5. Verse 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, and at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Acts 8. Verse 5. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Acts 19. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Matthew chapter 8. Somebody has asked me a question before. Say, can I operate in a gift of the Spirit? Not that I mean. Unconsciously, I say yes. See how we look at that later. Matthew 8:16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Now, if you observe, every time you find more than 1, 2, 3 people that are sick, you see evil spirits are cast out. Did you observe that? Did you observe that? What is that? Did you observe that? Now, that shows you something. Now, when you say evil spirits, look up. Can you see evil spirits with the naked eyes? No. So that means that in healing meetings, discerning of spirits are supposed to be in operation. Discerning of what? Spirits are supposed to be in operation or can be in operation. Such that you will be able to sense, know, hear, or see demonic activity in the sick or the oppressed. Acts 10:38. Notice that every time you hear about sickness, almost 75% of the time you see an oppression of a demon. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, in those instances where there is a sounding of spirits, you can identify one cases and their causes. You can identify cases and their causes. C-A-U now, not C-U-R. Cases and their causes. Evil spirit came out of many. Those that were sick. So there will be discerning of spirits in ministering to the sick. Now, this is where I want to borrow your attention. Do you have to call cases in healing meetings? Do you have to call cases? Now, let me help you to see something. Let me help you to see something. Now, you are growing up. Oftentimes, there was something Kenneth Higgins said several years ago. I heard that statement several years ago. And he said that, of course, those were his words. So if you write them in his words, that's your problem.
Now, he was talking about, you know, sometimes when he was talking about the Holy Ghost meeting where people fall under the power and all that. He said, he used a word that sometimes we could, like, dissipate the power. I know, and then other people are not blessed. Now, I took intelligence of what he said. Because really, we are the custodians of the power of God. Now, why did I say that? Sometimes, in ministering to the sick, we major on knowledge. I know you are sick. I will now describe what the sickness is. How you have. Do you know, really, like I said 2 weeks ago, that knowledge does what? Puffs up. You know, really, the end point is to help the fellow receive the healing. You know, sometimes, you may have a word of knowledge about someone's problem and you will mention it. There are some cases you should not call out. Abba, chief, do you know that if I have a word of knowledge, let me see, look at me, and I say it out. Saying it out is not utterance. Is it utterance? Eh? Let me take that again. If, for instance, I know that somebody has HIV, I know. I now say, there's somebody here who has HIV. What I just said, is it an utterance by the Holy Ghost? No. That one is my own swagger. I want to show I know you have HIV. And the guy doesn't ask, and you know the funny thing, you will know the person, you can just say, is you HIV? How will he have faith to receive? You have scared him. He's ashamed. Even if he didn't get healed, he will say he's healed. So that the sisters will not run from him. Even the brothers will run. He said HIV. Can you imagine? One sister came to one church. And so she gave a lecture on HIV. Medical doctor, how people should not run away from HIV. And she said about the love of God, compassion. Everybody agreed with her. She was a doctor, so she came to lecture in church. And they even prayed for those who had HIV. And they talked about love. Everybody agreed. When she closed the prayer, she said, actually, I'm a carrier. Nobody saw her up. Serious. The person who was in charge of the protocol told me, said, nobody who. Said, even the pastor did not see her up. Bless you. They didn't even shake her. Bless you. So why? Now you have that knowledge. You know, Jesus said, go and call your husband. He didn't say, hey, you this bed hopper. He said, go and call your husband. Now that's a good question. And the woman said, I have no. You have spoken rightly. And the man that you are with is not your husband. You know, he treated her with dignity. He said, there's somebody here. You have had 5 husbands. The man you are with, come out. You are the person. I know. That's knowledge pops up. Don't forget, revelation is for you to minister. It's not for you, you know, to master over other people. You have to call out cases, not all the time. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you have a word of knowledge or a revelation on the line of sickness and chronic diseases, you know, you can just take that period to explain God's word and let people know that truly he bore their infirmities. I already know he bore their infirmities. And you know, along the line of ministry, you could just sense to just call out somebody here and you could be wise with what you know. Just wise. You're just wise. With what you know. You know, you can say, well, you run a test, you run a test, and so data, you know, and the thing is scary. Come out. And that's all. Don't try and, you know, I want to eat a bullseye. Bullseye. And then you kill the bull, you move his eye. Amen. The thing to be spectacular, you miss the supernatural. Do you have to call out cases? Now hold on. In a believer's meeting, not necessarily. Because believers have the faith of God.
he can receive. He's a believer. But you see, with unbelievers, we may need to call out cases, albeit intelligently. Paul says, if all of us will prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14:26, and the unbeliever shall come in, say the secret of his heart is revealed. He will fall down on his face, worship God, and report that God is here truly. For the unbeliever, he needs a sign. God is here truly. They will say, well, even for carnal believers, they need signs. Praise God. So revelation given for healing to be received will be a sign. And that sign, please, don't draw on it. Don't add to the sign. Don't make it shine. So there's some things, you know, for instance, I had a word of knowledge in one meeting like that. I think it was an Abeokuta meeting. And the money had to do with someone's private organ. How can you say that publicly? I just say, you know, this blah, 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 blah. I just, with wisdom, you know, as you grow, you know, you grow. You are more intelligent. A person will come and you say, so and so, the guy will not tell you. Can you tell somebody has so and so? And the guy is coming from the back. And do you know, brethren will open their eyes? Brethren, don't close your eyes. Yeah. He must have been sleeping around. The brethren will now create their own revelation. He must have been sleeping around. You know, just be intelligent. Don't forget you are a minister. Amen. Okay. In John 4, Jesus' word of knowledge to the woman at the well helped her to receive. The word of knowledge, sign of spirits, is to help people to receive. It's not to show them you know, is to help them receive. I look at how I've grown, the things of God. I'm still growing. Look at how I started. There was a lady who came for a meeting. We had a success seminar, 97. A friend of mine would come and teach. And we'll talk about success. 97, January. Teach success. You know? And you know, remember one of the descriptions they used to have about me back then is that don't have any skeletons in your cupboard, you will expose it. Those kind of things will get into your head naturally. So I saw that lady and I said so many things to her. Mention this, mention that. You know she ran away. Did I bless her? No. Did I oppress her? Of course. She ran away. She left the meeting. That's why today, if you notice me very well, of course, when we talk like this, people will assume that you are omniscient. I'm not omniscient though. You can lie to me and I will not know. Praise God. I will know. And I will never know. So don't say, I want to test his spirit with the Ananias and Sapphira spirit that rests on you eternally. Amen. Some people have said that. They say, all the word men, I said something they could not even find out from their lips. Are you a devil? Why would they just leave that? You know, I know those things, I'll just come out and. But I grew much more intelligently. I now talk to people. Praise God. Sometimes I explain it in the teaching, sometimes I use illustrations as I'm teaching. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and I mention it. The key thing is for that person to be blessed. But sometimes I come out openly and say it. It's at that point that I know that somebody needs a sign and a wonder to receive. But you see, in believers' meetings, believers are to acknowledge by the word. Praise God. So you will help them receive more.
Are you learning something? So, you know, I'll
be in a meeting like that, I'll use everybody, one after the other. Sometimes it comes in handy when people look at the kind of car you came with to a church. And you can see from the logistics and the protocol, they are not likely to make you sit in front, even though you are the guest minister. You come in like that and say, are you the one? Or you are his PA? You say, no, I'm Pastor Wale. Yeah. You are welcome, sir. That side is what you will have told the first timer. Come in. So you can sit there. Can you sit there? At that point, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Comes to your mind. So, but don't make it a sign service. Do you understand? Always be content. Okay? If you give just three, everybody is not saying, hey, hey. I went to church to preach last August. And of course, I got in there and I taught. And because I taught on certain things, notion of truth and power, I had to show them what I meant. I love to give examples. Amen. It's not good for you to teach and there is no apere, e.g. So I gave e.g. Ah, and then I talked to someone, I said, you sell cars. A woman, you know that's strange. Say, yeah, you sell cars. Ah, say, hey. Because you know why I said she sold cars? Looking somehow in the meeting. Like, so I had to tell her what she sold. Praise God. So that at least she won't sell beyond what she should sell. I said, ah, yes, sir. I said, come. That was the beginning. So I spoke some other things to her, which did not come. You know, selling cars does not disgrace you. But when you mention the type of cars and how you get them in a believer's meeting. So really, that was necessary. But the other thing that I said privately to people, I remember one meeting like that. I mean, a man and a woman were having problems in their marriage. And I said it publicly. Why should I? I look at those things and I say, God, I know your blood has washed me. Why did I do that? But you know, I was a young preacher. When they had a G.O., who always gives them by the spirit of me. And I you know, come and say, university undergraduate. He comes to preach in a big church. Praise God. And you are quoting and quoting. Say, why would he quote? What's in his mind? He has nothing he's thinking. He's not married. He has no children. Why would he know Bible? So that first sign and wonder is not believed. And you can quote the whole Bible. So he teach the word. He said, of course. He's intelligent. He can speak good English. So the other one, they know that this one has nothing to do with age. So that I just display it. Say, aha. Ha. So do you know that after I was through, they kept calling me daddy. That's it. But you know, that's a while back, well over a decade ago. I should have grown up. You know? When you are young and they put you in a car, you're happy. But you know how many cars you have gone into? The first time I was going to enter a plane, you know, I told all my classmates, I'm going to enter a plane next month. And I was telling everybody, the night before we traveled to Jos, I didn't sleep. It was as though the plane had to park in my presence. I didn't sleep. I entered the plane and I was just like this. Cousin of mine said he could not board the plane. He said he's going to crash. I said, don't worry. At least I'll have entered it before it crashed. Very young, I think it was 83 or 82. The plane. This is it. It was, we landed. Yes. So I asked my uncle there, I said, when are we taking the plane to the next? He said, no, it's when we're going back to Lagos. I said, no, Ibadan. What's Ibadan? I said, okay. But you know how many planes are taking since then? So at that point, you don't get, I just give him word of key. Ah, I give him word of key. Ah, I just tell him there. You know, really? Did you bless anybody? That is, do you know that most of the time when we are like that, you hardly have many healing results. You have overdone it. Amen. People will just be saying, ah,
that guy can see. You just put you and say, I've seen men that can see. And they'll say, Pastor so and so. Because you didn't bless them, you only showed them the television. So, the end point of revelation is to give you direction so that people can be blessed. Praise God. So, signs and wonders are for those who don't believe. Okay? And for believers that also don't believe. So in that context, you know, there will be word of knowledge. Just be intelligent. Sometimes you are teaching God's word and you will have revelation about certain cases as you are teaching. We're saying the same thing. At that point, you could just use an illustration or you could just teach along that direction. And that is it. You have ministered. The word of knowledge is for you, amen, to have direction. It becomes a sign and wonder when the other person needs to acknowledge that the power of God should be received to believe and be blessed. But primarily, it's for you to give you direction as you minister. When we're in evangelistic meetings, when we have more unsaved people, the sign of spirit will be so strong. Because the unbeliever naturally is possessed. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3. And you have to look at the different principalities that accompany that possession in different dimensions. So that you can deal with them, casting them out, and then healing the sick. Can I think talk about a case where I thought I can think in a lot because the very introductory stages of learning the things of the Spirit, and I don't know anybody in the body of Christ really that had that kind of knowledge, not today. Now, he talked about time that he needs to pray like that, and as he was just praying the prayer of faith, as he said, the guy didn't get healed, so he wondered, so he prayed in tongues for a while, and then he just saw that there was something that made it impossible for that particular body to be straightened. So he saw like a creature. So he now cast out that creature as he did. And then he laid hands. Don't forget, when you now cast out the spirit, you now lay hands. The gifts of healings is different from the workings of miracles. Different from the gift of faith. And different from the word of knowledge. As you have ministered now you've known by the eternal spirit, and you minister the gifts of healings or the workings of miracles. Every time you have to cast out a demon from somebody, power is demonstrated. The workings of miracles are in operation. We'll talk about that later. So you now minister. So you now did that. And I've seen that also. Sometimes you have to. There was a time like that. I entered a church, a local assembly. And as I was going into the venue, I sensed in the hotel room, I just sensed a pull so strong in my spirit that I knew that something was oppressing that congregation. You know the funny thing? They were well dressed. The choir was singing like a normal choir, everything. But as I entered the door, the atmosphere was strange. As I got on the pulpit, I was teaching. I saw like a web over the congregation and a beam, as it were, like sickness was a dominant factor in that place. And immediately, what I did was simple. I just took authority over that evil spirit and I cast it out of that congregation since I left. You know, because you know they can come back again. And as I did that, there was a flow. And I now called out people, come and see crowds. I mean, the whole congregation was emptied. As I was talking, I just kept turning to my right. And it was the pastor who was equally sick. And that's a difficult one. From the pastor to the congregation, there was really a web. A Spider-Man was on top of the congregation. Just like this. Wearing red, black, white, everything. You know, and they would come there and they would dance and dance and dance and dance. But there was no flow of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's key, you know, for you to know how to teach and flow with the Holy Ghost. So I was able to minister like that. So just like that, Paul, Acts 16, you know, had a lady, a girl, following him all about, and he saw a spirit of divination. And then he cast out that spirit in healing meetings, Matthew 8:16, Acts 8:5-6, and Acts 5, read down earlier, Peter's case, you will see demonic activity, and you will see unbelief. Now listen,
Whenever you see unbelief that is strong, it could be a presence of strong demonic activity. So oftentimes it's good to deal with that spirit being. And then, dealing with that spirit being and the word of knowledge comes to help those people to believe. That's when revelation gifts become something that makes others believe. When they become a sign and a wonder. Okay, the two things they do, I said, they let you discern the spirit, the cause, and then to help the recipients to believe. But don't forget, it is the gift of healings that heal the sick. Revelation spots the cause, gives you a direction. The workings of miracles will cast out a foreign object. The gifts of healing will bring restoration. So, if you cast out a foreign object, for instance, and you do not have cure eventually, you have not blessed the person. Sometimes the gifts of healings can work over time. Through teaching, through laying of hands, and through prayer. While revelation gifts can be instantaneous, sure, the gifts of healings may not be. Praise the Lord. So that's where you are intelligent in how you minister. So the key thing here is that revelation gifts give you a direction of ministry. They give you a direction of ministry. Imagine you are teaching. What will you do if you are teaching? And you are teaching about teaching about prayer. And then you sense, I'm giving you a question. You keep sensing, maybe you are teaching about prayer, you now sense immorality. Immorality. Who doesn't look, they are not together. If you still sense prayer, you can still say prayer, don't be afraid, pray. If you still sense a financial need, you can still talk about, pray. What things ever you desire when you pray. But this is a different thing. Somebody does not have an immoral problem and say pray. Pray about what? How does that help you there? Does it help the teaching of God's word when the subject does not look like something that can clear what you have sensed? What do you do? Let me say what I'm saying. What do you do in that instance? Can you break up a teaching meeting and just say, well, I sense there's somebody here. Why would you do that? When the object of the ministry of the Spirit is for all to be edified, how will all be edified? When you now point to one person, and we have 1 hour, 30 minutes, you now focus on that person. How does that bless all and all are edified? That's a small assignment I'll give you. So you already, don't forget, the revelation gifts are to give you a direction. Is that a direction to know what to teach? How to teach? Or, if you have a revelation, must you do something about it immediately? Give my answer. I've already given out my answer somehow. You think I have. And it's a trick. Must you say something immediately? Did Jesus tell Peter what he knew about him immediately? Did Jesus tell Judas what he knew about him immediately? Must you say it when you are teaching? Imagine Jesus is teaching. And he now looks at Judas and he saw something. And he teaches everybody and they're about to give 5 loaves and 2. He say, Judas, you will betray me. Nobody will collect bread from him. You know? Nobody will say, you betray me. Or, Peter, you will deny me. But I prayed for you. You know, you now send them out after that day to go and minister in the place. And they say, that guy said that. But you are not in that holy committee. He called him out. That guy. The guy that preached yesterday. Oh. He said 3 times. That even the cock all over the world will know. So, must you say it? Sometimes, when I was younger, I had a revelation, immediately I'll say it. So I keep growing. Sometimes a year, sometimes 2. I don't say anything. Praise God. Okay, thinking says sometimes the Holy Ghost can give you a revelation and you don't say anything about it for 10, 20 years. You know, Simeon in the Bible was like that. Remember Simeon? It was just like that. You can keep quiet. Must you talk? It's to give you a direction. It's just like saying, you know, I sent you a text. You are trying to find a place. You go, how close is this? You try to find a journey. You are going somewhere and I'm not sending you. I sent a text message and I say, you will turn right and turn left. When you get to the house, you know, the woman can be saucy. She can be funny, but be calm, be cool. You know, I go there and say, you will be saucy. I've been told to be calm and cool. You know, number one, whoever told you will be in trouble. And of course, she will not just be saucy. She will sauce your head off. Revelation is to have direction. Is that okay? Shows you the course and shows you how to deal with the course. Don't turn yourself into a newscaster. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Don't turn yourself to a newscaster. You are a minister. Revelation will allow you to minister healing. Allow you to minister miracles. Allow you to minister utterances effectively to bless other people. Hallelujah.